Turn to Acts chapter 7. I'm glad to be a part of this church and have so many friends, like-minded Christians, friends that are here with me. And I'm glad to work on the field with like-minded missionary friends. And I vouch for them. These are good men. They're faithful preachers. But they're not the only ones either. We have a lot of faithful preachers in Mexico that are now taking on their own responsibilities, and they are following the examples of this church, the example that this church has set up. And believe it or not, it is their goal, it is their ambition to live up to their heritage in this church. They ask us all the time, you know, How do we do it? How did y'all do it? What did y'all think? How did y'all feel when you started doing this work? And we explained to them exactly the same that they feel. You know, maybe we can't do it. Maybe it's too much. Maybe the job is too much. Maybe we're not going to have enough money to send out these missionaries. But they've stepped out by faith also and sent out missionaries. We've got the church in Leon who sent out 3 full-time missionary families at first. They sent them to Celaya, and they've got a church started in Celaya and some preachers in Celaya, and they just had a conference, a type of a conference, an evangelistic campaign conference, trying to get that church ready to start preaching on its own. And then just recently, about a year ago, they sent out 3 more missionaries, full-time missionaries, to Guadalajara, suffered a bad setback, and one brother left the work, and another brother took his place, and so they still have 3 full-time missionaries now in Guadalajara. A huge field, about 4 million people, with about 1% evangelical rating, perhaps 1.3% evangelical rating, which by far the greatest percentage of that is a little cult called Luz del Mundo, which are not Christians whatsoever, but they are considered evangelicals. In other words, when we say 1.3% evangelicals of their population, we're talking about very few real Christians. Very few real Christians, and next to nobody that'll stand out on the street and preach the gospel. So we're excited about that. Also, Aguascalientes, the church in Aguascalientes, has just now approved a brother, and they're going to send him out as a full-time missionary to help the brothers in Guadalajara. Hopefully by June he'll be sent. And this is a very good brother, a very faithful man, and a good preacher, and wise, and he's got a stable family life. Not to lift him up, but we're praying that God will just bless him as a missionary, and he's getting ready to go. Another thing is, we didn't win him to the Lord. He was won to the Lord by the people we won to the Lord. It's a tremendous thing, isn't it? I mean, and he's going out as a missionary. Yeah, it's a great thing. And if you haven't taken time to peruse over the little branch that Debbie put up to see all the different churches that have been started through from this church on in this great branch, you know, this great tree of Christianity or the gospel, you ought to stop and look at it, because these are real people, and they really do think about you, and you really did have a part in what's happening there, and these people are saved. This is an eternal thing. These people are saved. They understand sound doctrine. They're trying to get other people saved. And it's because you had a part. It's because we had a mission conference a little while back. 22 years ago, we had a mission conference that God decided to touch us strongly. And every mission conference since then, we have wanted God to touch us strongly. Touch us, Lord. We want to know. We want to do. We want to be revived. We want to be charged up again. We want to do this. We want to do what's on God's mind. We want to take an active part in what God wants. Acts chapter 7. This is Easter Sunday. This is the only day of the year you come to church, but we'll try to get you caught up. Yeah? But, you know, Jesus Christ is worth worshiping. He's worthy of worship. Worthy. It's not just a good idea. He's worthy of worship. And he's worthy of worship every day of the year. He's definitely worthy of worship every Sunday. Definitely worthy of worship every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. Worthy of worship every morning. Worthy. And if you haven't opened your mouth in praise this week, you better open your mouth in praise and tell him what you think about him. He is worthy of worship. And that's why we came here Easter. Easter Sunday. Of course, Easter was the British goddess of fertility. I don't know if you knew that, but Easter has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Easter, the name. But this Easter Sunday, this day, the first day of the week, the first Sunday after the Passover, is really the day that Jesus Christ rose out of that grave. It really happened. It really happened, and it's really the day. It's true. It has nothing to do with bunnies or Easter eggs, but he did come out of the grave on this day. 1,968 years ago, he came out of the grave on this day. That means something. Acts chapter 7, verse 1. Then said the high priest, "Are these things so? Are these things so? Are they so?" You know, there's a lot of people who choose churches and they don't ask that question. Are these things so? They'll choose a church based on whether it makes them feel good. You don't know how many people I talk to say, well, I go to Mass because it makes me feel good. Well, you know, I'm glad Mass makes you feel good. I mean, I like to feel good myself, but that's not a good reason to choose a church, because it makes you feel good. I know some people that go to a Pentecostal church because it makes them feel good, or because they're going to get healed, or they feel like it might happen. Who knows? I don't know why or what has ever happened to them. Perhaps they know something that I don't know. You know, I don't know. Let them choose. That's their choice. But you know, I find very few of these Christians who actually ask that question with a serious determination to find out, are these things so? We had this whole mission conference, a whole week of missionaries standing up telling you things about the world, things about Poland, things about San Antonio, things about Mexico, things about the Bible, things about Jesus Christ, things about heaven, things about hell. Are these things so? Is it true? You're going to make a decision today. You are going to make a decision today. One way or the other, you're going to make a decision today, and it's going to be based, I mean, it should be based on whether these things are so, whether they are true. What's wrong with putting a little importance on truth? Amen. Does it matter? Does it matter that Jesus Christ rose again on the first day of the week, the first Sunday after Passover? Does that matter? Somebody says, well, what's wrong with Christmas? I'll tell you what's wrong with Christmas. It ain't true.
Amen.
It's not so. At least Jesus did rise again on this day.
Amen.
But Christmas ain't true. Does it matter? You say, well, I don't think it matters. Okay, well, you know, we have different opinion. I personally think truth matters.
Amen.
I personally think that whether these things are true or not is the only real criteria for any decision you make. Because we're talking about things that have to be made, decisions that have to be made by faith. Now, it's true that the church hasn't always been full of believers. There was a time when the church had many more that were not believers. In the church, not believers. You see, there are two types of Christians. I don't know if you know this. There are two types of Christians. There are witnesses and there are believers. There are no more witnesses, by the way. They all died. But the church didn't start out with believers. It started out with witnesses. You see, Thomas says, if I don't see with my eyes, if I can't put my hand in his side, I will not believe. He wasn't a believer, but he was a witness, because Jesus appeared to him and said, put your hand in my side, look at me with your eyes, and don't be so faithless. He said, blessed are those that without seeing have believed.
Amen.
Now, isn't that tremendous? You see, we belong to that second stage of Christianity, not witnesses. We're not witnesses. You talk about a misnomer, they call them Jehovah's Witnesses. No, they're not witnesses. They haven't seen anything. They just have opinions like everybody else. They're not witnesses. Don't get yourself confused. There were witnesses. They saw. They know. They didn't have to believe. They saw. And then they testified what they saw. And we, our job is to believe. But you know, I don't believe that any one of these witnesses expected people to believe blindly, without any evidence, without any persuasion. But see, we run into this all the time. Faith is taking evidence, even if it's just a little bit of evidence, and coming to a conclusion based on that evidence. Faith is never just saying, well, I believe this. You know, you can believe the moon is made out of cheese. And what does that mean? That doesn't mean anything. You can believe that, but that's not faith. Roman Catholics, at least in the area that I am at, in Mexico, have a great deal of respect for faith. Tremendous amount of respect. Matter of fact, so much respect for faith, it's ridiculous. The fact is, we can see them all the time walking hundreds of miles. Walking hundreds of miles to a little statue, to bow down to a little statue, because they think that this little statue can give them something they need. Whether it's healing, whether it's a new job or whatever it is, they'll make a vow, Lord, if you'll give me this, or Mary, Senora, if you'll give us this, then we'll do this. And they'll walk all those ways, all that way, and in the last, you know, half a mile, they'll walk on their knees and go all the way up to this little bitty doll, about medio metro, about 18 inches tall, and they'll crawl up to it, and they'll make a prayer to this little virgin. And it's because they believe. But if you'll start reasoning them with them, and you'll say, look, this little virgin, this little idol, it's made out of plaster. Isn't it? And isn't it painted? And if it falls over, it can't get up, right? You walked 100 miles to ask a favor of a little plaster statue that if it falls over, it can't get up. It couldn't take one step to meet you. And you know, you're crying when you ask your favor of this little statue, but it can't see your tears. It can't hear your prayer. It can't help you. You see, this is reason. We can stop and think, this statue is not worth putting your faith into. However, to a Catholic, if it's more unreasonable, it's more faith. And that faith becomes even more valuable, see? That's the way it works. If it's something totally ludicrous, then that makes it a much more valuable faith. Are you that way, Christian? Are you that way at all? Do you think that by shutting your eyes to all reason and all evidence, closing your ears and not listening, and by keeping on believing whatever it is you started out believing, do you believe that is an honorable faith? Or do you believe that our faith should be based on evidence that we can understand, even though we can't see it, but evidence that we can understand and make decisions based on that evidence? Not blind faith, but faith in evidence that we can understand. And this is what I want to get across to you this morning about this mission conference. Because we're talking about making serious investments, amen, serious risks, amen, serious life-changing decisions based upon a little evidence. Not based upon the fact that all the elders of this church think this is a good idea. I mean, if all the elders in this church agree on something, then it's probably a pretty good idea. Because they're a pretty diverse lot of people. Or if all the main men of this church were to agree on something, then that's probably a really good idea. Because in the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. Isn't that true? However, that's not a good enough reason for you to invest your life, or even invest a tithe. 10% of your income invested on the basis of what somebody else thinks is a good idea. You get burned that way. You know, there's a lot of people who thought it was a good idea to invest in certain stocks. And that stock's going up and up and up. And then some things change. I mean, it could be anything. Some Middle East guy over there can make a difference in his policy. And bang, that stock will go spiraling down and you lose all your money. You see, you can't make a decision for all of your life based on somebody else's opinion. You got to have some kind of evidence. Something that you can say, I'm basing this decision on this thing right here. And I'm telling you, what you need to base your decision on, even this morning, is whether it's so or not. Whether it's true. You got to find out whether it's true. Take, for example, the statement that many have made already that men, men and women, people, are morally responsible for their sins. And they're going to be judged. And they're going to be condemned. And there are no exceptions. Now, are these things so? Is it true? Is it true that men and women are responsible, morally responsible for all their decisions? Is it true? Because if it's true, if it's so, it makes a serious conclusion. It makes a serious decision necessary. If it's true that we are morally responsible for our sin and that we will be condemned for our sin, all men, everywhere, and that there are no exceptions, then that makes just about everything you've lived for this last year almost useless. A waste. A waste of time. Whether it's a bigger house or a nicer car or a better job, or all of these things become very, very insignificant. if it's true that men are morally responsible for their sin, that they are going to be condemned forever in a place called hell, and that hell is a place that is insufferable, that cannot be imagined. If it's true, if it's so, then it's got to make a difference in the way you think. If it's true. Now, if it's not true, and most of you live as if it's not true, that's the truth. Most of us live as if it's not true. Most of us prefer not to think about it. Most of us prefer to think there has to be some exception. There has to be some other loophole, some other way. It's time to be grown up about this and think over these things on the basis of whether it's true or not, and make a decision based upon that determination. Is it true or is it not? Don't make a decision based on emotion. I could come up here and I could talk to you about these poor people here and these poor people here, and you know, I could give you the shipwreck analogy, and these poor people are out there swimming and just looking for somebody to throw them a life vest. Or you guys could all go to Titanic and feel real bad, go watch a pornographic movie and feel real bad about people you knew were going to die, and you'll have a nice emotional experience. But emotions don't last.
Amen.
Emotions don't last, and emotions are not going to make you make a good decision. What I want you to do is make a decision this morning based on only this. Is it true or not? Now, just the fact that you walked in these doors on this morning makes me believe that most of you believe that doctrinally it's true, right? You're in agreement in your heritage as a Christian, somewhere or another, you believe that there is a hell, there is a God, there is a judgment. We are morally responsible. We're not going to have any excuses when we get before God. We're not going to be able to say it was somebody else's fault and that excuses me. And there's not going to be any other possibility of salvation other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you believe that doctrinally, then now stop and think about it. You personally, individually, think it over. Is it true? Are these things so? Do you live your life based on that determination, whether it's true or not? Have you made any serious life-changing decision based on the fact that it's true? I mean, I assume you doctrinally believe it, but you know, Christians can be Christians just like Aggies can be Aggies. You know, it's just like to make Jesus Christ nothing more than a mascot. What is a blue devil? What is a Tar Heel? What's an Aggie? These are just mascots. But you know, people will praise these things. Oh, blue devils are the best. Or Tar Heels are whatever it is. Isn't that silly? I mean, people go around and they're rooting for Spurs or for Coyotes or whatever. Is that what Jesus Christ is for you? Just your mascot of your group or where you come, and you're going to praise him because that's what we do in this assembly? Is that all Christianity is? Or did Jesus Christ really live on this earth and live a perfect life and teach things that nobody could have imagined and then go to the cross, not because he was forced to or snuck up on or betrayed, but because he wanted to obey God, and he did it in order to save lost people? And then on that third day, he rose from the grave. Is it true?
Amen.
Because if it's true, it's got to change your life.
Amen.
I was 17 years old before I started determining for myself whether it's true and whether I was going to make decisions based on that determination. And I came to the conclusion that it was true. And I only had a little bit of evidence in my mind at that time. I could, right now, after years of putting it together, I could show you a lot of evidence that it's true. Or at least a lot of evidence that convinces me. As a matter of fact, now that I've built up such a large pile of evidence that confirms my decision to be the right decision, my goodness, I see evidence everywhere. I can't even look at a tree without seeing the evidence. I can't look at an insect without seeing the evidence. I'm telling you, I see it everywhere. This is true. What the Bible said is true. It's all true. I find people all the time trying to explain away their unbelief. And they try to make us understand why it's not reasonable to believe the Bible. They'll say, do you really believe that Adam and Eve talked to a snake? Yes, I do.
Amen.
Do you really believe that God created the heaven and the earth in 6 days?
Amen.
Well, yes, I do.
Amen.
But what does that mean, they'll say? What does that mean? No, the better question is it so? Because you're skipping right over that question. You're saying right away, as if it's taken for granted, that it's not so.
Right.
You're saying it's not true. And then you say, so what does it mean? Yes, God created the heaven and the earth in 6 days. Yes, He did. Yes, He created the male and female. Yes, He did. Yes, Jesus Christ died on the cross for sinners. Yes, He did. Yes, He rose from the grave. Yes, He did. Yes, He said, I'm coming back again.
Amen.
Yes, He did. Do you believe that it's true? Did He do it? Is He coming back? Is Jesus Christ coming back again to this earth to reign and to judge His people? You see, because it's easy to say, well, yes, that's what the Bible teaches. But I'm asking you to make a decision this morning whether it's true or not. Whether it's so. Not just whether that's what your religion teaches or whether you can see it in the Bible. Consider in your mind this morning whether it's so or not. Because this is the question you have to answer. This is the question you have to ask. Are these things so? Because they are going to take you to a certain conclusion. If Jesus Christ died on the cross for people's sins, if people, because of their sins, are condemned eternally to a hell that is absolutely righteous. And don't you ever get caught up in this stupidity of defending hell. Hell is righteous. Hell is godly. I made a decision years ago that I was not going to argue with God anymore. If God said there's a hell, then it's righteous.
Amen.
And you know something? I can see it. It's clear. It's righteous. All you got to do is take a good long gander at godless people's lives. And you know that hell is a godly response from God saying this has to be done. Sin has to be judged. It has to be condemned. Hell is real. People are in hell today. People are suffering today and they'll be suffering forever. And this is not unrighteous. This is not some poor tragedy. This is righteousness and justice being applied. And if it's true, if this is true, it's got to make a difference. It's got to make some difference in the way you think your life, the way you live your life, the way you walk out of this room, the way you go to your job. It's got to make some difference if it's true. But don't keep on putting it on the back burner thinking, well, you know, it is what the Bible teaches, but then not making any decision based on whether it's true or not. It's true, and if it's true, somebody is suffering today. If it's true, Jesus Christ did something almost 2,000 years ago for a purpose that you're not living for. If it's true, you're setting it all aside. Based on what? On some imagination? Based on some feel-good sentiment? Because a preacher can stand up here and say, you're okay, everything's fine, and we can all take our children outside and have an Easter egg hunt. Wouldn't that be warm fuzzy? That'd be so nice. We're going to all get together. We'll all get out under the shade trees and have an Easter egg hunt. And the pastor can dress up like an Easter bunny. And he can hop around. That's a sad thing. It's a sad thing for any Christian to be caught up in. Why? Because they have to ignore the fact that what the Bible says is true. And the Bible is not an Easter bunny type of a book. It doesn't talk about Easter bunnies. And it doesn't talk about warm fuzzies. It doesn't talk about mushy things. When it talks about love, it's talking about something serious.
Amen.
And it talks about God's love. Well, let me ask you that. Is it so? Is it so? Does God love Mexicans? Does God love Polish people? Does God love Russians? Does He love this bum that walks up and down your street with earrings in his ears and tattoos all over his face and he's got safety pins stuck through his eyelids, and every time you try to say hi to him, he cusses you out? Is it true that God loves him? Think it over. Because that's going to have to make a difference in the way you treat him. It's going to have to make a difference in the way you pray about him. It has to make a difference. What are you going to do? Go to God and say, God, get rid of this guy off my neighborhood. When God's saying, but I love him. But I love him. That's hard for me to see. But I have to make a decision based on whether or not it is true. To get the gospel to all these people. God's not going to do it. That's what they've been saying. They've been telling you that all this week. All those of you that have come this week, you've heard it. They've told you that the only way these people are going to get the gospel is if we send it to them. Some of us are going to have to go, and some of us are going to have to sin. That means some of us are going to have to give up career choices, right? Some of us are going to have to learn hard languages, right? Some of our children are going to have to be raised in a foreign culture. Yes, that's true. And some of us are going to have to tithe, and some of us are going to have to double tithe and triple tithe, and some of us are going to have to work a little bit extra, and some of us are going to have to set aside certain times to take care of needs that these missionaries are going to have. This is all a tremendous sacrifice. Amen. Stop and think. Is it so? Is it true that the gospels, that our preaching the gospel is the only way they're going to be saved?
Amen.
Is it true that God would condemn a poor savage out in the jungles of South America who has never heard about him? Never heard the law? You know, that's a tough doctrine. It might bother you, I don't know. But you better stop and think, is it so? You don't have to defend God. Don't defend God. He doesn't need your defense. You don't have to come up with a reason why he can do that. Don't explain it. You don't have to defend God. You don't have to explain hell to anybody. But let me tell you something. You'd better decide whether it's true or not. You'd better come up with an understanding of the Bible clear enough to say, this is true. And you know something? I've read the Bible. I understand it to say that that's true. I understand it says there is no other hope except by the name of Jesus Christ. That there is no other way that they're going to be saved. That they're going to be judged justly. Yes, they're going to be judged according to their works. But that will land them in hell. They will be condemned. And if that's true, you have to decide whether you, then, are the one responsible to get the gospel to them. Everybody in this room today has to make that decision. And you will make that decision. Before you leave, you're going to make that decision whether you will feel responsible, whether you accept the responsibility or not. And it's a shame that a lot of people will not accept that responsibility and pretend they haven't made the decision yet. But the fact that you walk out of this room without accepting that responsibility is you made the decision. It ain't so.
That's right.
You're saying, I'm not responsible. You're saying, it's not on me. It's not the monkey on my back. I don't have to do it. I can wait. I can put it off another week. I can put it off another year. And pretty soon, you'll have no other time to put it off. But you were responsible. And I'm telling you this morning, you are responsible for these people. You are responsible for those people in Poland. If they're going to hear the gospel, you are responsible. You know how I know that? Well, I went to Poland with these guys, and you know what I know? I know there's nobody else over there doing it. If there is, it's very, very few, very rare, and God put it on our heart. God put it on a couple of missionaries' heart to go there. That means it's our responsibility. Hey, church, I don't know if you noticed it or not, but you guys took on a pretty good-sized country there as your responsibility when you sent two missionaries over there, and they get a burden about it, and they start praying about it, and you have to start praying about it. You've got some responsibility. Is it so? You say, well, I don't want that responsibility. Well, you're probably going to have to find another church. I'm serious. Because you become part of this responsibility. We didn't do this as individuals. I could not have ever gone to Mexico by myself. Or if I could have, I would not have ever been able to do what I've done. I've been able to accomplish hardly anything. No, it has to be a church effort. It has to be all of us together. We can't do it by ourselves. Joe and Brent can't last over there. We have to have a decision here in this church. All of you individually have to decide whether it's true or not. You know what I think? I think that it's true. I think that we are responsible to get the gospel to these people.
Amen.
I believe that we are responsible to preach the gospel in Mexico. responsible. For some reason, God gave us Mexico. Now, I know that we don't even have the possibility of sending, out of this one local assembly, of sending somebody to every nation, every city, every town above 50,000 people. It's not going to happen. I understand that. But that doesn't mean that by what we do and our fruit, that it won't get there.
Amen.
It'll get there. Man, you don't understand. God's got some good ideas in the way He set things up. My goodness, you just get one little bitty old microbe, one little bitty old amoeba in your system, and in a couple of weeks, you are completely sick. All you got to do is get one. One little bitty old virus get into your body. Just one little bitty old virus cross over and somehow get into your body, and you'll be sick because you'll have millions of them before you know it. Why? That's why. Because it just multiplies. And if we do our job here, then the job is going to get done. However, it all starts with you saying, it's true, I'm responsible, I have to make a decision based on that truth. Hell is true. If it's true, people are dying and going to hell, and you're going to have to make a decision. Hey, some of you may be not even saved from hell. Did you know something? You're going to have to make that decision today. You're going to have to decide today whether hell is true. I don't know if you know it or not, but the Bible says it's true. Jesus Christ said it's true. The apostles said it's true. There's not one of them disagreed with the doctrine of hell. Not one. You look all over. All these witnesses that I told you about, all these witnesses that saw Jesus Christ come out of the grave, every one of them was in total agreement with the doctrine of hell.
Yeah.
They all agreed. People who do not receive Jesus Christ as their Savior are going to hell. Are you going to go to hell? Just because you are going to put off the decision to decide whether this is true or not? Or are you going to find out? Does it make any sense that God would judge you for your sin? Yes, He's going to judge you for your sin. And you will die and you will go to hell even if you decide not to make any decision today. You can just put it off and you'll die and you'll go to hell. The reason why is because you didn't think that it was important to find out whether it's true or not. But it's true. And it's not true just because I said it's true. You can find out for yourself. Why don't you read your Bible? Why don't you ask Jesus Christ whether it's true or not? Read the Gospels. There's four Gospels, all full of what Jesus Christ has to say. Find out what He has to say about hell. Is it true? Said the high priest, are these things so? That's a good question. Are they so? Is what we've said all this week about missions, is it so? And if it is true, if you're in agreement with me this morning that this is true, that there is a hell, that people really do die and go to hell, that people are in this moment preparing, even at this moment, falling into hell, and that this judgment is just and righteous and that there is no appeal ever. If this is true, what are you going to do about it? What difference is it going to make in your life? How about that it's true that you are the one responsible? And especially you men, you heads of families. Let me tell you something. You men are responsible, more responsible than any other member of society. You heads of families are responsible. You are the ones that control 90% of the wealth. That's the truth. You are responsible. God gave you a tremendous responsibility. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to take up on your responsibility to do about this truth? That you are responsible. That you are the one that has to get the gospel to them. You've got to do something. You've got to make some decision. It's got to make some difference in your life. Are you satisfied just living for this life without ever thinking about these deeper things? It comes to the point where you cannot escape the responsibility. You cannot set it aside any longer. You know, when you're a child, you don't have to worry about responsibility. I got a real kick the other day. I was went into Sears. I was with Michael, and we were waiting for Debbie to exchange something or whatever, and so we just stopped in the tool department, just walked around lusting and coveting after all those nice tools, you know. And we're walking around, but I was walking around looking at all these nice things. Boy, these are sure nice. They were all way too expensive, but they're sure nice, and I saw a little kiddie's tool set right there. I thought, what in the world is this doing in here? This is toys. But you know that ever so often a man takes his son in there, and the little son would rather have a kiddie tool set than a real tool. That's the truth. They would rather have a kiddie tool set than a real tool. Do you know there's a lot of Christians who would rather have a kiddie Christian life than a real Christian life? They'd rather pretend to be doing something than to really do something. It's a lot more enjoyable. For some reason, my little son, Stephen, he has a great time with little bitty toys, playthings. He could get a little hammer that couldn't put any nail in anything and have fun with it. That's the truth. But I give him a real hammer and he's not that interested. Now that's the truth. Are you that kind of a Christian? You like all the little kiddie things, but you're not willing to get into the real work, into the real life, into judging real doctrines, into finding out whether you can really save somebody from hell. And you really can. You really can. You can really have a part, but you got to make a decision. Today you have to make a decision what you're going to do about these things you've heard. You have to first decide whether they're true or not. And if you decide, like I'm sure you will, that they are true, because you know the doctrine, you know the Bible, you've understood, and if you don't, you can find out. You come to the conclusion that they are true, then you have to make some decision what you're going to do about it. Somebody's got to go.
Amen.
Now you just stop thinking about all the people that have gone, and you start thinking about this church right here, and you stop and think, somebody has to go. Jesus didn't say, y'all can stop praying now, we've got enough laborers. He said, we need more laborers. Pray, he said, the Lord of the harvest, that he'd send more laborers. It requires more people to go. Have you done anything to prepare yourself? Did you know the Bible says that have you seen a man diligent in his business? He'll stand before kings. Did you know it requires some diligence on your part? You're going to have to do some preparation, some thought, some forethought. Who's going to go? Who has God said somebody needs to go and said it to your heart? It's time for you to get up and go.
Amen.
Somebody needs to send. That is, somebody's going to have to say, all right, Lord, because I know that this is true, I'm going to take a certain amount of money every single paycheck and I'm going to give it for this purpose. I'm going to do it because I believe that this is true. And I'm going to make this decision based not on blindness because somebody said something, but I'm going to make it because I know that these doctrines are true. Because I know that they are true and I've determined that they are so, I'm going to make a decision based on faith. And it'll be real money, real investment, based on evidence. This evidence, the Bible, telling you what life is about, what eternity is about, what sin is about, what the gospel is about. It tells you. These people were witnesses. They saw and they're telling you. And you've got to make a decision. You've got to make a decision today. You need to make a decision today. This is the final moment of this mission conference. And you need to make a decision today. If you're lost, if you don't know Jesus Christ, if you've never given yourself to Jesus Christ, if you don't know what it means that He died on the cross, you've got to make a decision today. You need to make a decision today about that because it's true. And the only thing that matters is if it's true. If Jesus Christ died for you on that cross, then you have to do something about it. You have to do something about it. If He rose again from the grave, like no other person has ever rose from the grave, on His own power, comes up out of that grave and can never die again, raised with a resurrected body, and is now alive at this moment, and in this room,
amen,
and waiting for you to do something about it. If that's true, then you need to do something about it. This morning, you need to make a decision this morning. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we know it's true. We know what You said is true. And we know what this Bible says is true. And we're not just blindly accepting it. Lord, we've seen it. We've seen it in our own lives, and we know it's true. And we're making decisions, Lord, even now, about what we're going to do about it. Lord, I ask You that if there's someone in this room that's lost and not saved, that has never come to know You, that You'd touch them even now and bring them to You so that they could be saved follow up on what they've seen, what they know. I ask You, Lord, if there's some Christians in this room who have not lived according to the truth of this gospel, who have not lived according to their determination of the truth of these things, Lord, that You touch them today and make them make sound decisions for the rest of their lives. that they could make decisions based on these things. And Lord, that they could be a part of this ministry of seeing people saved and taking the gospel to every creature. Lord, I pray You'd revive this church and open up the doors, Lord, and touch people and send people. Lord, I pray that this morning You'd have Your way in every life. I ask You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand and sing number 93. This altar is open. If you're here, if you want to accept Christ as your Savior, the Lord has put it on your heart, you need to be saved when you come down. Tell me about it. Will somebody help you? If you're here and God's called you to be a missionary, come.